from the 36th verse, taken from the New Revised Standard Version. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Come, let us return and visit the believers in every city where we proclaim the gospel of the Lord, and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul decided not to take with him one who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not accompanied them in the work. The disagreement became so sharp that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and set out, the believers commending them to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. May God bless to us this reading of his word, and to his name be the praise. Amen.
Thank you, George. A couple drove several miles down a country road, not saying a word to one another. This was due to an earlier discussion which led to an argument where neither wanted to concede their position. As they passed a barnyard of mules, the wife sarcastically asked, "Relatives of yours?" "Yep," the husband replied, "in-laws." Relationship arguments, something of which we are probably all too familiar. And we want to hide these things, not admit that we struggle in this regard. Isn't that true? Well, it's noteworthy that Luke didn't cover up what went on. He doesn't portray the apostles as saints that could do no wrong. Luke wants us to see the mistakes and learn from this lesson and see how God works through it all, that his grace is greater. The situation that occurs here in Acts 15 is dishonorable. It's a sad story. The conflict wasn't minor. It was a heated, intense, deep disagreement that occurred between them. The word in verse 39 that's translated disagreement in the Greek is the word paroxysmos. And when it's used in a medical context, it refers to convulsions or having a high fever. It carries with this the sense of heightened emotions, red faces, loud voices. Not a pleasant sight. The argument became such a sharp disagreement that they ended up parting company. The Message paraphrases verses 38 and 39 saying, "Barnabas wanted to take John along, the John nicknamed Mark, but Paul wouldn't have him. He wasn't about to take along a quitter who, as soon as the going got tough, had jumped ship on them in Pamphylia. Tempers flared, and they ended up going their separate ways." When you consider each side of this conflict, you can make a good case either way. Both men had valid points. Paul remembered back to what happened when John Mark had deserted them. On the first missionary journey, Paul, Barnabas, and Barnabas' young cousin, John Mark, all went out together. But when they headed into possibly unfriendly towns, John Mark saw the difficulty, and he panicked. He had witnessed Paul being stoned and left for dead. So, worried that that would happen to him, he went running back home to Jerusalem. Paul had the big picture in mind, thinking about the ministry, focusing on the people that he was trying to reach. He was about to leave on another missionary trip, headed into uncharted territory, where they likely would face opposition, persecution, and hardship. He couldn't take the risk of having John Mark walk out on him again. He needed someone reliable that he could depend on. The ministry was too important, and the work too demanding to enlist someone who would end up just proving to be unreliable. Well, at the same time, we can respect the opinion of Barnabas. Barnabas was the kind of man who eagerly tried to help others. That's why the early church named him the son of encouragement. Barnabas was focused on the individual. He could see that John Mark was young and inexperienced, but saw potential in his young cousin and wanted to give him a second chance. He believed in him, even though he had failed. The focus of Barnabas was, we serve a God of grace. He is the God of a second chance. Our God never gives up on anybody. You can't blame Paul for wanting someone on whom he could trust. He didn't need someone on his team who would run out when things got difficult. And you can't blame Barnabas for wanting to give his cousin a second chance. He saw the undeveloped potential in Mark and wanted to extend God's grace to him in spite of an earlier mistake. Paul and Barnabas were probably both right. And that makes for a difficult situation. Barnabas knew he was right. Paul knew he was right. Each was insistent on their position. But how they approached the disagreement was wrong. They both stubbornly dug in their heels, resulting in a sharp disagreement. Ever had a rift like that with someone? It happens in our personal lives, and we unfortunately see it happen in the church. Just take a look at church history and consider all the denominations that there are. These have occurred over differences. And sometimes these splits have been very contentious and hurtful. The New Testament records some of the early arguments amongst believers. When you read Romans and 1 Corinthians, you discover that the Christians disagreed on things like, well, whether or not to observe the Sabbath day, whether or not to eat meat or be a vegetarian, and whether or not to drink wine. In Colossae, the church was torn by controversy over the role of angels, of new moon celebrations, and the proper diet for Christians. In Thessalonica, the young church squabbled over the second coming of Christ. We don't always agree on every point, and that's okay. The issue is how we handle these disagreements. It's not a sin to disagree. We don't have to agree on everything. And maybe we will go different directions at times. What matters is how we go about it. Last week, if you were here, I spoke about the grace of God and how we come into a relationship with God, not based on our works, but solely on His grace. We see here grace again. Grace is one of Luke's great themes. And out of this dispute and parting of ways, two missionary journeys resulted. One with Barnabas and Mark going off to Cyprus and to strengthen the churches. And then Paul taking Silas, who was a Roman citizen, who we'll see later on would end up being very important to that journey. They ventured out into uncharted territory. So out of this disagreement came two missionary journeys instead of just one. This is where we see the grace of God. God took a negative and brought some good. As it says in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things, even our sharp disagreements, God works for the good of those who love Him. This does not justify anger or bitterness, but it does illustrate the biblical principle that God is able to work through all these places where we indeed fall short. The reality is that sometimes in our Christian relationships, we will struggle and we will fail. Good and godly people in the church do disagree. And that's one of the painful facts that we have to accept. But God can bring hope into these situations. God's grace is greater than our sin. He can take our human blunders and bring good out of them. I find it interesting to read the later writings of Paul, where he talks about the importance of unity. And one author commented, when Paul writes about the dangers of anger, bursts of rage, and so on, he must many times have looked back on this incident and hung his head in shame. It seems he regretted how he handled this situation, and stresses to others the importance of unity. In Colossians 3:13, Paul writes, "Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." In Romans 12:10, he writes, "Love one another with brotherly affection." In verse 16, he says, "Live in harmony with one another." And then it's interesting how he goes on in Romans 12 and verse 18 to say, "If possible." Sometimes there will be a disagreement where we do have to go our separate ways, and maybe that is the best thing to do. But it needs to be done in a spirit of love. The issue is not that we will disagree and separate, but that we'll cross the line of justifiable disagreement to anger and bitterness. When we disagree and it's not done in love, we begin to attack the person and not the problem. Attacking the problem means studying the issue, sorting and thinking things through. Attacking the person means losing your temper, questioning motives, and using intimidation to get your own way. There's a movie that just came out, maybe you've heard some of the fuss about it, called Unplanned. It's about a girl who is a former Texas Planned Parenthood clinic director who becomes an anti-abortion activist. Abortion is a contentious issue these days. Well, a movie theater in the interior here of BC has canceled showing this movie after receiving threats against their staff. That's not how you handle things with which you disagree. I appreciated how the CEO of Cineplex responded. He made the statement about having the freedom to express different opinions. And he said, "Living in a country that censors content, opinions, and points of view because they're different from our own is not a country that any of us would want to live in." I would say that's true. We don't want to live in that kind of country. But as people of faith, yeah, that's not the response that we are to have. It doesn't mean that we don't voice our disagreement, but that we do so in a loving way, working out our differences in a spirit of love and kindness. There's an old saying, "To dwell above with the saints we love, oh, that will be glory. But to dwell below with the saints we know, well, that's a different story." Yeah, relationships can be very difficult at times. We're all different, and that's okay. We don't agree on everything, and that's okay. Sometimes in the family of God, we are going to disagree. And sometimes we'll need to go our separate ways, and that's okay. But we don't have to all go to the same church. We don't have to all be part of the same denomination or believe the same way on controversial issues. We do, however, have to love one another. That is a non-negotiable command of Jesus. Jesus says in John 13:35, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." No matter how much or how passionately we disagree, we must still love one another. Well, how then do we disagree in love? It's treating one another with respect, not with hostility and animosity. It's holding on to your convictions firmly, yet graciously knowing that God may lead you somewhere else differently than he's led someone else. It's not planning revenge or giving in to self-pity. It's not spreading rumors or twisting the facts in order to make you look good. Rather, it's taking this posture of humility and grace. Romans 14:1 in the Message says, "Welcome with open arms fellow believers who don't see things the way you do. And don't jump all over them every time they do or say something you don't agree with." When there's a sharp disagreement in Christ, our ultimate goal should be that there is eventual reconciliation and the restoration of a relationship. We should always do our best to resolve our differences. When there's fallout, we should seek reconciliation. And remember, as Martin Luther King said, forgiveness is not an occasional act. It's a permanent attitude. As you look at the rest of the New Testament, you see that the rift between Paul and Barnabas did not persist. 10 years later, we read how Barnabas and Paul were colleagues again. The disagreement wasn't handled in the best way possible. But Paul regretted his response, and he learned from the situation. He didn't hold on to animosity or pride. So when the time came, that relationship was restored. In 1 Corinthians 9:6, Paul refers to Barnabas as a fellow apostle and a fellow worker in the cause of Christ. Paul is able to look at Barnabas and say, my friend, my fellow apostle, my partner, my co-worker. Reconciliation and healing occurred. And further, Paul came to not only appreciate John Mark, but came to depend on him. So much so that Paul asked for Mark to come to him as he was approaching the end of his life. In 2 Timothy 4:11, he writes, only Luke is with me. Bring Mark with you when you come, for he will be helpful to me in my ministry. Paul's strength was his resolute commitment to follow Christ, no matter what the cost, and to stand firm in his convictions. You could beat Paul, you could throw him in prison, you could even stone him, but you couldn't stop him from proclaiming Jesus Christ. Paul's weakness was his inability to accept and work with a weaker person like Mark, a man who had potential but just wasn't quite there yet. Barnabas's great strength was his ability to encourage the weak and the faint-hearted. He was a champion of the outsider. And after all, Barnabas was the one who introduced Paul to the Jerusalem apostles, supporting him when the apostles were suspicious of him. Barnabas knew how to show grace to those who had failed. But Barnabas erred on the side of not addressing those who needed to be confronted. We see a situation where he was carried away with hypocrisy, withdrawing from eating with the Gentiles just out of fear. The lesson, I think, for us is that we need to approach one another in humility, putting aside our pride. And ask yourself, where, by God's grace, are you strong and gifted? Use that for him. But also be aware of how that strength can lead you into sin. A person who is strong in discernment can easily become judgmental. A person who is strong in accepting others can easily err by tolerating serious sin or doctrinal error. In our relationships, we are to fix our eyes on Christ, having him work in our hearts as we interact and deal with one another, loving one another. Disagreements will come, and sometimes we won't handle them very well. But we don't have to remain in that place of paroxysmos, of anger, of heightened emotions. For there is grace that is greater. Grace that we can come to God, not on our own merit, but through Christ. Grace that he takes our blunders and can bring good. Grace that God uses imperfect people in his service. When relationship difficulties and differences arise, we can come to the one who offers us grace. We can come, confess, have him guide us. For when sin runs deep, his grace is more. For his grace is greater. Will you pray with me? Well, Father, thank you for Luke, for not shying away from the truth regarding this sharp disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. We see how they were individuals just like us. And at times, they didn't act in the most upright manner. We come in awe and gratitude and thanks for your grace in the midst, that you brought something good out of their folly. Your grace is greater than our sin. I think of the words of the psalmist in Psalm 34:5. Those who look to you are radiant, that our faces are never covered with shame. As we look to you, you indeed cover our shame, our sin, our sharp disagreements, all those places where we fail. Lord, help us to grow in our relationship with you and with others so that we would take a posture of humility and grace and to be able to disagree in love. And Lord, where we have relationships that have been severed, would you help us to restore them, to reach out in your love and grace? Lord, we need you. Grace is found where you are. I pray this, Jesus, in your strong name. Amen.